This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Danny Meringue.
And then I went to this movie theater. This is it. I made a noise like this.
Dusty Hera.
Then this was horrible. All the people started getting sick and throwing up all over each other.
I'm beginning to like this kid, Mike.
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080.
Are you good?
The Fan.
Out of three on Danny and Dusty here on a Thursday afternoon. When you're listening on 1080 AM, watching on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. Thank you for hanging out. This is a wonderful, wonderful Thursday. The Portland Trailblazers do fall to the Boston Celtics last night, 128-118, behind the avalanche of Derek White and Peyton Pritchard, both scoring 40-plus points for the first time in Celtics history. Two teammates do that. Anthony Simons had an amazing game, 12 of 21, 30 points, but lost in the shuffle is the continued success of Shaedon Sharpe. 25 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, 11 of 18 shooting, 3 of 7 from 3. Over his last 10 games, Shaedon Sharpe is now averaging 19 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists on 48-35-76 splits. That's pretty damn good.
It is, and that's like what everybody's just hoping for, is you get more consistency out of Shaedon Sharpe. This is a good stretch for him. This is the best stretch that we've seen as far as consistent basketball with the effort. You know he can be explosive. You know he can score, but can he do the other things? And it's good to see that we're seeing this, but, I mean, I find it interesting that we talk about this like it is a surprise when this should be the expectation of what we see from Shaedon Sharpe.
Yeah, I think that's the thing, is that you look at this and hearing Shaedon, because he's been doing more post games, because he's been interviews, because he's been having productive nights. The thing that he keeps talking about is the non-on-the-court stuff. It's the knowledge, it's the learning, it's the getting more comfortable, it's the understanding. And this is all sounding very, very, very similar to what we saw from Scoot Henderson. It's all sounding very similar to Tumani Kamara. And I want to give him the credit, because this, like, you can have this opportunity and you can throw it away, because we've seen guys do it. We've seen guys not take these opportunities, not take these chances. And for all of the Chauncey Billups is a terrorist for not playing Shaedon Sharpe, not playing Scoot Henderson, not playing Tumani Kamara last year, it seems like he's hit it right on the nose with all three of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing is, look, I will keep saying this. I still think that the right course of action for them was to turn the water off post All-Star break and to try to improve their lottery odds. But if you're going to do something else, the final, we're now 20 games remaining. If you're going to play meaningful basketball and these guys, Scoot, Tu, Denny, Shaedon, are going to give you this and show you that growth and take advantage of those opportunities and be real guys in games of consequence, the measure of data and things you can draw from it are tangible. They are real. And Joe Cronin said it in the post-trade deadline press conference. And I 100% believe that he means it. He is not going to get in the way of them pursuing the play-in. I don't think they want to make the play-in and convey the pick to the Chicago Bulls. It would hurt them. And I think the front office is willing to admit that.
What would hurt them? Like, and this is the thing. Are you going to get a star player at that pick?
I don't think you ever know that for sure.
But the reality is, historically speaking, no. You're going to get another role player. And that does nothing for this organization.
It's an infusion of talent on a young, controlled contract.
But what it does is it opens up the next few years of picks to where you can do whatever you want.
To legally do it because that pick is protected until 2027, if you're going to look at this as a glass half full, it would unlock all of their future picks to be able to be traded. Now, they can do that otherwise by putting different guarantees and protections on other things, but it would allow that absolutely, totally to be a possibility.
Which I think is a pretty big thing
if the path steps.
The path that you're going down is, all right, we're going to be good enough to make a play-in and then add another player who's good enough but not good enough to get you over the hump, right? Mm-hmm. Then you're just stuck. And if trading for a player is going to be how the Portland Trailblazers get that star, you want every way possible to trade for that player.
But that also pertains to this potential pick, because the likelihood is that it will stay basically where it's at. It likely won't move up in the top four.
Look, they're...
But again, and this is why you don't move that pick until the lottery. That's why you don't make a move at the deadline uses that pick, right?
Yep.
Because if on the off chance that it does, and I'm not talking about number one and the 1% odds or whatever that is, I'm talking about moving into the top four. Because if you do move into the top four, that does change things. Not only with who you could potentially draft, but also who you could potentially target in a trade if you were going to go down that path.
Mm-hmm.
That opens up a lot of doors if all of a sudden, Cooper Flagg's off the table to say you move up to fourth, and you're looking at one of VJ Edgecombe, Kasparis Jakusionis, Trey Johnson, that next tier of guys who's very good, that a team would be like, we like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're very much interested in what you have to offer there, which is why you don't move that now. But it very much appears, because even in Shaedon Sharpe's quote-unquote down games in these stretches, I think the lowest scoring game he's had in his last seven is 18. But in that game, he also was incredibly effective on the glass. He had a career-high 11 rebounds. You are getting stuff out of Shaedon Sharpe beyond scoring. You are getting impactful plays on the defensive end, whether it's a chase down block or deflection in a run out, grabbing rebounds in traffic. I don't think he hasn't rounded the corner, but you can see him starting to turn the corner. And I think that might be the singular most important thing from a player development standpoint for the Trailblazers over the final 20 games.
Yeah, and that's the only thing that they're looking at. To the point of Joe Cronin not wanting to turn the spigot off and not want to get in the way of them gunning for a plane, and the most important thing is player development right now. With the growth that we've seen from Scoot and consistency of Scoot, the growth and consistency that we've seen of Shaedon Sharpe, couldn't you just have those things and not continue to play Jeremy Grant and not play Anthony Simons to the level that he is playing?
I think if you're talking about pursuing the play-in...
Well, no. I'm just talking about growth and not getting in the way of that growth. You can still do that and not have Anthony Simons play 38 minutes or, put him on, one of those more rest nights, not really vying for and gunning for spots, shutting down Jeremy Grant. I think you could still get all of those things.
Oh no, I still think you could get those things, but I think they are saying, yes, you can make a run with a plan. And I think the reason why you wouldn't shut down Ant in this vein is because Ant has been so good, and they aren't going to disrupt that and give them a legitimate chance to try to make a plan, which is what Joe Cronin has said publicly. And again, I'm on the other side of that argument, where I still believe that they should have chased the lottery odds. But if you're going to go down this path, Shaedon is playing great. Two is playing great. Yeah. Denny is playing great. Ant is playing his best basketball this season, and Scoot is playing incredibly solid basketball.
This is the thing that has frustrated Blazer fans for years, right? During the Neil O'Shea era, was say you want one thing, do something different. Mm-hmm. Say you don't want that pick to convey, right? Or say you want to make the play-in, but also feel like you don't want that pick to convey.
Well, I don't think you ever want to give...
Both of those things, they don't go hand-in-hand with each other.
No, but it's also not black and white. That's not how this stuff goes, and that's just the reality of it. Nobody wants to convey a pick.
Is black and white with what the Blazers need and what they have and where they are. It's a black and white thing. You need a star.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? What is the best way to get one with this organization?
Through the draft.
Okay. That's it.
Sure.
I mean,
I agree, but I'm
we all know it.
If you're going to go down this path, then go down this path.
Yeah, and then let's not hear about they don't want the pick to go away, because you're going down this path because you're saying, well, we're okay with that pick being gone.
Sure, but
and then that is
they're quote unquote okay, but you don't want to. It's not black and white. You don't want to convey a pick ever. You don't want to give up an asset that you don't have to give up. That's the whole point of whether or not a pick conveys or not.
But you're not going.
But you're willing to sacrifice it if that's what happens. You don't want to, but you're willing to. And that's, I think there's a very real difference between those two things.
Yeah. I mean, it's
if they earned it,
another stuck spot. But look, again, they're still four games behind,
yeah,
or four games behind Dallas right now for the.
It's still very tough. Four games in 20 is a difficult proposition to make.
Yep, out.
And the Suns are also still in between.
Yeah,
and with Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, it's still a possibility, as it were.
And you want to watch a team turn it on? They could say, "Hey, we're going to let you play for the play-in," and then at the end of the year, just go, "No, okay, now we're turning it off."
Yeah,
and say. It was final three games.
We're fine. The math is the math, and it goes, it's not like you would need like six different things to come together, and then, you know.
Yeah, like beating Sacramento and then beating Minnesota.
Yeah. No, there's like I did the it's a win, it's a loss thing through that. And I on the math, it was like they need to win probably 13 of the final 20. And I got to 9, and then there was 3 or 4 in there where I went, about those are, you're asking an awful lot, and that's without taking in all the other factors of the other teams. So I we've been hard on Sharp here through the first, you know, 60 games of the season. I wanted to give him his flowers because he has started to really show what he is capable of doing.
It's good to see.
It is. All right, coming up next, the Oregon Ducks, well, they're going to keep their man, Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
The Oregon Ducks are going to write the check. Dan Lanning going to be paid as one of the top five coaches in college football. $11 million a year. They get the extension through 2030, and they maintain the buyout clause at $20 million. So if somebody wants to come try to poach, it's going to cost you. Of which, in college football, maybe I'm wrong here, Dusty, but I feel like the buyout period, because college football has become so monetized, that is not going to be as prevalent as it was basically over a 10-year stretch.
The buying out a coach?
Yeah, because of how much money you are now openly spending and the figures that continue to grow.
Yeah.
I think that you're probably looking at ADs and presidents and provosts around the country going, yeah, we really like this coach, but we're not paying $20 million on top of what we're going to also have to pay them.
Yeah, in that
it's nice,
well, and saying, their staff too, because
it's good protection.
It is a great protection, and now you're looking at it like, look, for all of the people that will say, well, Oregon fell short. They have improved every year under Dan Lanning.
Not only that, 130 other teams fell short.
He is now being paid as one of the top five coaches in all of college football, and he's actually in more so in that is. He is getting paid on par with the main coaches in the conference that he coaches in. And Oregon started his salary at $4.7 million when they hired him as a 35-year-old first-time head coach.
Taking a real risk, but gave him real money.
This is his fourth season. It's up to $11 million. And you look at the coaches that are ahead of him, they're the guys that have won national championships. Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney, Ryan Day will be there. And now he is on par with the best coaches in the Big Ten. And that's where he should be, right? He should be ahead of James Franklin at Penn State, who gets paid $8.5 million and Lanning last year was right around there. And in that window, and when he hit all of his bonuses, skyrocketed that. But he should be right in the Ryan Day neighborhood there. And he's in the Lincoln Riley neighborhood of his reported salary, which is, you know, $10 million a year at USC, which doesn't report. So we don't truly know what he makes.
Also a $16 million mansion that the school covers.
But you are talking about that list of coaches that have won national titles in college football is Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney, Ryan Day.
Look, I am far
he's
from
right behind those guys.
I am about as far away from Duck apologists as you'll ever find.
He's a damn good coach.
Who's a better coach in college football than Dan Lanning?
Well,
legitimately, who's a better coach right now? Can you name 10?
No, you can't. Okay. You can't name 10.
And that's my point.
Yeah.
If he's in the mix of being in the top 10, his age, his early success, and his recruiting all factor into the outlook going forward.
And I think one of the ridiculous things that people will bring up is, well, you know, a lot of coaches could do what Lanning's doing with the resources that Oregon has.
Then how come no other coach there did?
Well, the times are different, but I don't think that that is correct either.
Look, man,
because there are several universities, like Phil Knight has a ton of resources,
yes,
right? And he pumps them in.
One man.
But so does Texas A&M.
So does Texas. So does USC.
Georgia.
So does Georgia.
Tennessee.
Ohio State.
Ohio State. Penn State. Alabama. LSU. Florida.
Yes.
Florida State. They all have resources. They all pump money
in. Look, Nike has the $1 billion. There are two billionaires in the state of Oregon. One of them is Phil Knight. The other one is the CEO and founder of NVIDIA, who is an Oregon State and Stanford alum. Mm-hmm. Those are your only two billionaires in the state. Yeah, Phil Knight helped build Oregon. That it's a fact. But beyond that, Oregon is not a state that is just littered with millionaires. I'll use USC as an example. USC has, again, it's all private. The number of millionaires they have donating to USC is staggering.
Yep.
Texas, it is staggering. That you're just talking about sheer mass of population centers and graduates tied to those universities. Oregon does not crank out graduates because it is in a state that is, number one, not that populated, and people from all over the country haven't flocked to for 50 years. You're talking about in schools in Michigan, Ohio State, Texas, Florida, USC, Stanford has an endowment of what? Was it $30 billion across the school? $32 billion?
Yeah.
There are other institutions that have even more resources than Oregon. It's just a fact. But Lanning has done everything possible short of winning a title. He's won a Big Ten championship. He's
in
had
year one.
He's had big time recruiting classes. He's been successful. Yeah, has he lost some games? Yes.
Yeah.
But my God, his run of success, it's been phenomenal.
Yeah, it has been. And
who's been better than him over the last 3 years?
From win loss percentage? I don't know.
Ryan Day? Is that the list?
Well, and how many active coaches have a championship under their belt?
Well, yeah, it's Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney, Ryan Day.
Yeah.
List.
That's a pretty short list.
It's a short list, man. Ding. And like, in Oregon, I think, is doing the right thing here. They're getting him paid commensurate with where he's at. They're protecting him, or they're protecting him and themselves from any potential snipers that want to come and try to steal him away.
And we talked about this in hour number one, too, when we initially went through this. It is... the big thing is it's not just your ability to recruit. It is roster retention and coach retention. And to this point, it has been elite with Lanning. That means players like to play for him. Coaches like to coach for him. And that's how you breed success year after year after year, right? When Clemson took a step back, it was when they lost their offensive and defensive coordinators to Dabo Swinney, where they had such great continuity. Nick Saban is truly the outlier with the turnover that he has, right? There is a lot of stability with Kirby Smart in his staff. Coordinators may come and go, but your position coaches, those guys, having them stick around and having them stay is really important. This is year four with Tosh LaPoy and Dan Lanning. This is year three with Will Stein and Dan Lanning. And then you go down the list of guys that have stuck around for another year. You're going to get one or two assistant coaches peeled off every year. But can you keep your core? That's important, man. And now you're bringing back guys like Alik Terry. Rashad Samples turns down head coaching opportunities to return as your running backs coach and get promoted up, right? They are pulling guys like Chris Hampton from Tulane, who is a defensive coordinator, to be a co-defensive coordinator and secondary coach. That is another huge reason that people miss in the world of college football. It just comes down to wins and losses and recruiting. There is a lot more to it. And there right now, the Souths, he's mixing it right now. And it's Kirby Smart making 13 this next year. Ryan Day makes 12. Lanning and Dabo, along with Steve Sarkisian, all three of those guys going to be making $11 million. That's your list of the five highest paid coaches in college football. And deserving so.
Where were those guys in the college football playoff?
Well, they were all there. And it's the three coaches that have won one. Lanning and Sark you're seeing their programs rise.
Yeah. The math is mathing.
Pretty
right
damn
now.
Good.
Yeah.
Pretty damn good. If you're a Duck fan, it's a good time.
Yes.
It's a good time to be a Duck fan.
Come up next.
He wants to be there, unlike Willie Taggart and Mario Cristobal.
There you go. And that also matters.
It's
infinitely.
Huge.
Coming up next, Chris Haynes has been sitting down with Damian Lillard for the Behind the Bucks podcast. He had LaMarcus Aldridge on, which we talked about the other day. But he also had Damian Lillard talking about his final days as a Portland Trailblazer and kind of what led to his eventual exit. We'll get to that more. But first, here's the Big Kahuna Sports Center update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
More and more is now coming out about Damian Lillard's final few months as a Portland Trailblazer as he sits down with Chris Haynes on the Behind the Bucks podcast. Obviously, Dame very tight with Chris Haynes after the relationship that he built with Chris Haynes here in Portland over the years. And more and more is kind of coming out is what kind of led to Damian Lillard's departure, of which Dame explains in his own words.
I sat there and watched the draft with my dad in Paris. We watched it together. It was late as hell in Paris. Everybody else had laid down. Me and my dad was sitting on the couch watching the draft. And I remember, I knew my dad never wanted me to, like, leave Portland because I remember, like, the first pick went and then the second pick went. And I remember him sitting there. He was like, watch, they finna trade the pick right here. Watch. I'm like, bruh. They picking in 30 seconds. And the two, Wimby and Brad Miller is off the board already. The writing is on the wall. He like, nah, watch. I'm telling, like, they going. He thought a trade was going to pop up. I'm like, so the pick happened. They picked Scoot. And even then, I wasn't like, I'm out. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, this, where do you go from here? You know what I'm saying? Like, you still got Ant. You still got Shaden. You still, now you got Scoot. You got me. If it all fails, you know, you're going to trade the 33-year-old at the time.
Yikes.
I've talked about this. I was in communication with Damian Lillard on that draft night as this was going on. And he wasn't thrilled.
They were drafting his replacement.
And he, to be totally clear, Dame never had anything and has never had any issue with Scoot Henderson.
No.
That it was never part of this. But leading up to that, the Portland Trailblazers did have discussions about trading that pick. That's what Dame is talking about there. I've alluded to it in the past. I think they had very, very, very real discussions. Not even I think. I know they had very real discussions about trading that pick and where it would go and what they would get back. And I think they made the right choice in not dealing that pick in that exact deal. But if you go back to that press conference, the question I asked Joe Cronin was, Joe, how do you expect to get those four players on the floor when there is 90-ish minutes between those four guys and you're going to go ahead and 30-plus, 33 are going to go to Dame, 30-plus are going to go to Anthony Simons, and you want to move Shaden Sharp into this, and he's probably going to get 25 to 30. Where does Scoot Henderson factor into this? And in that moment, Joe Cronin did not have a good answer because he knew the crossroads that he was running into. That a decision would have to be made. One of Scoot Henderson or Damian Lillard was going to have to go. And I think at that point in time, they still were trying to figure out a way to make that work with Dame. I know, but it
would have been impossible to do.
It was. It was an impossible task. And look, this is not a shot at Joe nor a shot at Dame. I think both knew. And I wrote about this after Dame was officially traded to the Bucks, you know, almost 2 years ago now. Both knew it was time. Neither wanted to be the bad guy. Joe Cronin had basically just taken over the job it was his first full year coming off of Neil Olshey's firing at the end of the calendar year of 2021. It was his first full season, no longer being the interim. If your first move is to voluntarily trade Damian Lillard, you're signing your own death warrant as a GM among the fan base. And he did what I think every GM does in that instance. And he made Damian Lillard be the guy that demanded to be traded. And Dame didn't want to do it.
Right.
Dame did not want to do it.
And he talked about on the Blazers not trading that pick.
And I remember telling them, like, hey, if we get number one and y'all get Wimby, I remember saying it, like, that's perfect if we get him. And it was like, if we don't, it's going to be an asset that we can really use, you know? Like, people going to want it. We're going to be able to really do some stuff. I was like, cool. And that just didn't end up being the route that the Blazers chose, and it just didn't make sense, you know, at that point. For if I wanted to win, it was just like, we could be a competitive team, but like, I had done that.
And that's what you're talking about right there, and that neither one wanted to be the bad guy, but everybody knew. And Damian Lillard absolutely knew that when they didn't trade it, that was it. It was game over, and the writing was on the wall.
It was the beginning of the end.
What anybody said.
And I've talked to Damian about this scenario multiple times. And he's when the possibility going into that lottery that they could move up and get Wemby, he flat out said, if we get that dude, I ain't going anywhere. Like, that's – I'm staying for that. And I think even it had the Charlotte Hornets, had they taken Scoot Henderson and the Blazers got Brandon Miller, I think there's a coin toss chance that Dame stays.
There's a better and easier conversation to have with him about, all right, you can start moving your roster around to make it make sense to be competitive and stay here.
Do you play Brandon at the three? And do some version of, you know, Dame Ant with Shea being your sixth man, Brandon Miller playing the three, which I think he's capable of doing, but I think he has more of an advantage creation as a two. But it's workable.
Mm-hmm.
It's much more feasible and much more workable. But the second it became another, and this is not a knock on Scoot, it's very much the same as Dame. Those guys are ones. They are a singular position. They are a point guard. They are a guard. It's a lot like Donovan Clingan. Donovan Clingan ain't never swinging down to the four. He is a five. And when you don't have that positional versatility to try to make it work like you could with a Brandon Miller, it just closed the door.
The sliding doors that could have come from that are, boy, the Phoenix Suns would have DeAndre Ayton and Tumani Kamara still. And Dame could still be in Portland. Like, look, I know he's calling it Behind the Bucks, but Haynes just needs to change the name of this podcast to Behind Blazers Trauma, because that's all that this has been so far.
The last two episodes, it's just been that.
That's really all that it's been, is opening up Blazers fans' trauma and having to go and sort through it. So thanks, Chris. Appreciate you, man.
It is interesting, and it does serve as sort of the inflection point, as it were, in the transition for the Blazers. And it makes me wonder what this summer is going to actually end up being a step forward for them. Do they make a move with Anthony Simons? Do they make a move with Jeremy Grant? Do they make a move with their draft capital and a player to go do something else and push this thing forward? Or does it end up being static? And it's one of those things where it's like,
better not be static.
Yeah. No, it needs to be it. But it also kind of goes to show you the structure of team building and what, when you talk about bringing in the guy,
mm-hmm.
look what adding Wemby has done to the Spurs.
It's been huge, man.
It allows them to not only reset everything they've done, but now you have the allure. De'Aaron Fox was the guy who was like, I need to get there before anybody else gets there. Because I could tell you five all-stars, like under 26 all-star caliber players.
Or those are good to have.
Actual all-stars.
Those are good to have.
That were fighting to get to San Antonio. Fighting to get to San Antonio. And Fox is like, I got to get there first. I got to get there first, because
smart by him.
It is. Hitching your wagon to that guy. Look, Dame has said it publicly. He wanted to play with Giannis. He tried to bring Giannis to Portland.
Yeah.
Like,
got close.
And he was like, look, man, I know how good I am as a player. That dude's different.
Yep.
And he did the same thing when he looked at Wemby. He may not be him right now, but I know how quickly he can be him.
No doubt about it.
And I can give you three, maybe four more years of some facsimile of what I have been in my prime alongside that guy, and we can do real damage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And unfortunately, the fates just didn't align, and that's where you end up. Ugh. Come up next, what a nice little bow on today's show.
Trade in the NFL.
Oh, what we got?
Christian Kirk to the Texans.
Oh, there we go. We'll dive in the next year. Danny and Dusty, Today Fan. Take my chance to go full Roger Goodell here. We have a trade.
Yeah, man. This is an interesting one because of the fact that he was going to be released, and now what you're seeing is a low-end swap. The Houston Texans have traded a seventh-round pick, which isn't even their seventh-round pick. It's one that they got from the Los Angeles Rams to the Jacksonville Jaguars for wide receiver Christian Kirk. And this comes on the heels of an announcement yesterday that Tank Dell, because of the massive knee injury with the dislocation, MCL, LCL, ACL ruptures that he had back in January, because he had an MCL, LCL on January 15th, they need the rest of the leg to heal before they could go in for the ACL.
Oh, you mean they don't do it all at once?
So he has yesterday went in for a reconstruction of his ACL. And so he is obviously, nobody was expecting him to be back for the 2025 season anyway. But there was a need. They needed another receiver to put alongside Nico Collins. Now they can slide in Christian Kirk as their stopgap guy at the receiver position. Smart move by Houston and Jacksonville. Instead of, you know, they're just wiping their hands of Christian Kirk. Anyways, doesn't really matter.
Yeah. They get a little something in, anyway. And the Texans don't have to vie for his services on the market.
Yep. And so it works for both teams. I'm sure Christian Kirk is happy to go
to a good team with a great quarterback.
Yeah. Go there and do the damn thing, man. You have CJ Stroud. You have somebody alleviating the pressure from you on the other side in Nico Collins. You're going to be sitting okay.
What does this mean for the world of Stephon Diggs? Does this mean he's going to definitely be on the market?
Well, I mean, there's already odds out there on his next team. So, yeah.
Like, as we dive in, like, I know we do this every year. Does this feel like the NFL is getting NBA'd a little bit with how much and how often and how frequent transactions are kind of popping up now? It feels like the NFL was the league without much movement. And now it feels like it's swinging towards being a much more active marketplace in the offseason.
We definitely are seeing bigger names move. And I mean, Christian Kirk is not one of those bigger names,
no,
but this is like the movement that you're used to seeing. Mm-hmm. I think what we're seeing is teams are far more willing to let a good player go. And that is new in the NFL. It's saying we can find your replacement.
I think it's interesting too that this is a intra division trade too.
Yeah. Yeah, which is very different. Two AFC South teams that are dealing a player in, I mean, I think that tells you the value of Christian Kirk, right?
Sure. No, look, he's a replacement level or slightly above replacement level wide receiver.
Yeah. Yeah.
But again, I think you're just seeing teams being smarter sounds so reductive, but I don't think it's being more efficient in how they handle business.
Yeah.
Like, this is something that makes sense for both teams. The Texans are like, hey man, we're not going to be in the market for insert wide receiver here. But what we can do is we can get a totally fine, capable, professional wide receiver who, like, we know and we can trust. And it's not going to really cost us anything, and we don't have to go out there and bid against it. And it's a protected asset. And on the other side, the Jaguars can go, hey, instead of just cutting this guy, we can get something out of this. And it's what we're talking about. The whole idea of both sides being happy, both sides accomplishing a goal, it seems like the transactions in the NFL are moving more towards that direction.
Yeah, and with the way that the cap is growing, and you're starting to see, like, it used to be this movement would be for offensive linemen, defensive linemen, you know, but you're seeing it with more with receivers and guys who get the ball because their pay has skyrocketed.
Yep.
And the receivers, especially, like running backs, dime a dozen,
they're
right?
Still
bye. But when you see guys that, like a Stephon Diggs, who is a diva, and I think a lot of teams are sitting there and saying, maybe we don't need him around. He's a good player. Maybe we don't need him around. that's fine with us. And the juice isn't going to be worth the squeeze because he is good enough to sit there and argue for top dollar, but he's not good enough for us to want to give it to him. And that's, I think that is, it's actually a healthy place for the NFL to be in because it's not hurting you tremendously.
No.
It doesn't hurt the product at all.
Speaking of trades, also we mentioned Trey Hendrickson has been granted the opportunity to go seek a trade from the Cincinnati Bengals. The number one landing spot in odds and fit.
Ooh.
The Washington Commanders.
Really?
Yes. That is you want to talk about a hand in glove fit?
Interesting.
I like that.
That is a...
I like that fit.
That's a big one. That could be a landscape shifter. Because, like, look, there's smoke to Myles Garrett to Philly, Myles Garrett to Washington. And this is what we were talking about. Now you have Myles Garrett, Trey Hendrickson, both given permissions to go out and seek trades.
And Joey Bosa on the market.
And then Joey Bosa is the hired gun, the mercenary, to go to whatever team. You have two guys that could be long-term. One guy is a stopgap. There's plenty of these guys that are out there, and contenders have got to be thrilled.
Commanders could be a spicy little meatball next year, man.
Yeah. And look, you just got to hope you don't get the sophomore slump.
Yeah.
You can't get the sophomore slump from
Jane Daniels,
which happens. Like we saw it with CJ Stroud this year. Mm-hmm. It does happen, and it happens more often than people would like to admit. All right. That does it for us today. Tomorrow, it is a Danny and Ortner edition.
It is.
I will be gone. I'll be back on Monday. Probably still hungover.
Don't you threaten me with it.
But up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac Souk right here on The Fan.
Bye.
Wu-Tang is for the children.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.